بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. This entire incident of Hazrat Wahshi radiallahu anhu, let's say most of it appears in Bukhari Sharif. Two people, they thought of visiting Hazrat Wahshi radiallahu anhu as he had moved on to Sham when Nabi Samad requested her to statiu and to ghikiba wajhaka anni. So they planned that the person that had at some stage been taken care of by Hazrat Wahshi, at some stage Hazrat Wahshi had taken care of that person. So he will present the questions and he will ask Hazrat Wahshi, do you remember me? So as they had planned, that came and the Sahabi asked Hazrat Wahshi, do you recognize me? And he came in such a state that his body was covered, plus most of his face was covered. You know, they may have seen Arabs wearing a turban or a hand in the dust and they cover the faces as well. It's only the eyes, a little bit, eyes are visible. So Hazrat Wahshi had a chance only to see his feet, nothing else. So he says, all I can say is that there was a child born to this family here. Right? And then the mistress had commanded me to look for some foster mother, milk mother. So I had the child around my waist looking for a milk mother. And now when I compare your feet against that child's feet, then it's identical. Your feet against that child's feet, then it's identical. I ask you, anybody that's sitting here, that if Allah Pak forgive, if there was a childhood photograph, right, showing your feet, will you be able to recognize yourself through your feet? What a memory himself had. Memory, observation. So if you see him to be such a powerful marksman, you understand that his sight, his understanding, his retention was so great. You also understand that the Sahaba Ikram, really they didn't require to record the hadith. Right? The memories are better than computers, right? One Sahabi, he's recording or he's relating a hadith. Right? So person that he's relating it to, he says, all right, let's revise this again. So this person that is being asked to be revising, he says, you're testing my memory. He says, see, in my life I've made 60 hajj, right? 60 hajj I've made. And in each hajj, I remember the camel driver and the camel that I had rode upon to Hajj and back. I ask you, right, the last Umrah you went, do you remember the name of the number of the plane? 520 or anything? Remember that? Everything is finished. Memory is wiped off. Each 60 Hajjs that he made, the driver of the camel, plus the camel itself, I remember exactly this was the camel. This is a description. See their memories. Imam Abu Dawud Sabrahamda relates this and he says that when there was righteousness and virtue spread all around, the level of barakat was such that he says that I saw in the marketplace a single cucumber, and that cucumber was approximately 13 balish handspan. 13 handspans. It's about almost 2.5 meters. One cucumber. Right? And he says that there was an orange being transported. Right? That orange was so huge, so big, that, you know, you get a donkey's load, right? So it has a saddlebag, and the load is put into the saddlebag. But that thing was so big that that thing had to be cut into two to fit into the saddlebags. See, when there's righteousness, he brings this out in the chapter of zakat, sadaqah, etc. So when you're thorough in your dealings are pure, clean, and you're giving out your zakat duly, etc., then this is the type of barakat that the earth would yield out. Unfortunately, what has happened today is we don't have that level of yaqeen in the words of the wisdom as we have in our businesses, our professions, our calculations, our mathematics, our accounting and our reasoning. The amount of confidence we have in that, we don't have it in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah give us that yaqeen that if we do this, Allah will reward, He will return. This morning, as I was just went to the room, so I was thinking what to talk about. So, alhamdulillah, many a times the surah that is recited or something that is recited in the morning or something gives you some idea, right? One is the reward for reciting Subhanallah bihamdi, Subhanallah al-Azim. Now, what happens to us is that ibadat goes as a routine. And when that ibadat goes as a routine, then you don't see the dynamics of that reward, of that ibadat, right? Did we take out the time to think, what's the meaning of Subhanallah bihamdi? So we're saying Allah Ta'ala, that you, Allah Ta'ala, Subhanallah, that you have no weakness, no limits and no weakness. Right, when you said to Allah Ta'ala that you got no weakness and no limit, then what you were implying? Because obviously, sana'un alal kareemi du'a'un. When you praise a noble person, right, a very respectable, honorable person, when you praise him, then that praise is like a request, you know. You know, you're so great, you're so good. So you praise him, that praise is what? It's a request. So you praise Allah Ta'ala, when you said Subhanallah, so what is your request now? What are you saying Allah Ta'ala? As you're saying Allah Ta'ala this much, you see, Allah Ta'ala, if I have to plead or send an application to any person of the world, right, then I'll have to, that person that is going to be looking favorably at me, then I'll have to go through three red tapes. Right? He will see three points, you know. Four points he will check me through. One point he will check, this person is asking this, is he worthy of it? I say, give him. And Allah Pak doesn't do that. He's Kareem. Kareem, yu'ti bi ghayri istihqaqin. He gives, even though you're not worthy, he'll give it to you. He must just like you and he'll give it to you. So it's not your being eligible or your being worthy. He doesn't look at that. He must like you. Once he likes you, he'll give it to you. Right. Number two, so see, there's no weakness in Allah Ta'ala. He must just like you. And as for us, you know, see that person eligible, whether he's worthy, and when I give him, must just give him how much he deserves. I can't give more than what he deserves. Right? What he deserves, I'll give. Allah Pak will give. He'll give so much, chappar tor karke de denge. So much that the roof will also break. So much he'll give you. And secondly, when a person of the world is giving anything, then he gives like this. He says, "You all right, I have to check up with my counterparts whether I can give this to you or not. I can't give you straight. I will check up, you know. I'll make mashwara and come back to you. Allah Pak is not subject to anybody's mashwara. If he wants to do a good, he is not subjected to any approval. Right. Number three, when you ask that person for anything, right? So, if he's not subjected to any mashwara or any approval, then sometimes he says, alright, I have to go to higher authorities. Before I give this to you, I want to give it to you, but I have just to double check with higher authorities whether I can give it to you or not. And Allah Pak is not subject to this. Because there's no partner to Allah Ta'ala, so he's not subject to any higher authority. He's not, in his giving, he's not subject to anybody. You ask anybody in any big company, you ask for a big favor. They won't just give it to you straight. Say, well, we have to make mashwara, we'll have to do this, and they will come back to you. And here he's not subject to any approval, any meeting with any counterpart, he's not subject to anything. You asked him and he'll give it to you. So you see, when you said Subhanallah, in other words, it's that being, right, that is not subject to anybody, anybody's approval, to any person being eligible, etc. He wants to give it, he must decree and it is. He must decide and it is. So he said, Subhanallah, that you aren't like us, O Allah Ta'ala. La tusal. You aren't subject to any type of authority above yourself. You're not subject to any mashura and any type of counseling or any type of discussion. It's your decree and you will give it. So you're showing him that he's such an authority that there's nobody above him, nobody equal to him, nobody above him. He wants and he gives it, he makes it happen. So this is what you are saying when you're saying Subhanallah. Right. The second thing is what was recited in the surah this morning, right? Alam tara ila alladhina tawallu qawman ghadiba Allahu alayhim. There's two classes of people Allah Pak speaks about. Alam tara ila alladhina tawallu and لا تجد قوم يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر يحادون من حاد الله. It's difficult for man to live a life in isolation. Right? He wants some company. They call it gregarious. You want to be with people, some association, some friend, etc. to make your life a little bit juicy and colorful. You want someone around. So you're going to select some friend and some acquaintance, right? You're going to do it all your life. But in the selecting of a friend, what are you going to do? You're just going to randomly pick friends or you're going to be selective? So there's going to be one category that randomly takes anybody as friends. Whether he is a loyal person, faithful person, unloyal, unfaithful, whatever the nature of the person, you just befriend him. So that is one class. And the second class, لا تجد قوما يوادون من حاد الله ورسوله. They're very selective. They're selective, they will take friends, and in their taking of friends, they'll be very selective. So what type of person they will take? They see if any person is not faithful to Allah and His Rasul. He's opposing Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul. No, he's not faithful. He's not showing loyalty, right? Then he's not going to befriend him. And then, even if that person be his father, his brother, his family, or whoever, this verse was revealed around a time when Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu anhu, he was engaged in battle, right? Perhaps it was Badr, and his father came from the opposition. Father isn't a Muslim. Alright, now, Abu Ubaidah has got a situation. On the opposition is the father, so he tried to avoid him. Father came again, the third time, and he chopped his father's head finish. So in his praise, Allah Pak says, that person who is faithful to me, then he is not cared of the opposition. even it be his father, he won't hesitate in chopping off his head. Then you find Abu Bakr doing a similar thing. When Abu Bakr told his son Abdul Rahman, after Abdul Rahman had accepted Islam, he said, in the Battle of Badr, you were fighting on the opposition, and you came in front. Had you come in front, I wouldn't have hesitated in cutting off your head. Father to son. See? And then you find Umar radiallahu anhu did the same. Some of his family members, and he didn't hesitate in killing them. In fact, in the Battle of Badr, when there was negotiations carrying on about the captives, so that Umar's suggestion was that my family, give it to me, I will chop off the head. So, you with me or you not with me? One of the two. There's no in between. This first verse, أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ تَوَلَّوْا قَوْمٍ غَضِيبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ, that's the in-betweener. The in-betweener, he's like an opportunist. He says, I don't know what's going to be things like, how things will turn out, so I need to keep my bread buttered both sides, you know. If things don't work out, then I still got an avenue to come here. And the believer, he looks at it differently, by I am with Allah Ta'ala. I'm not an opportunist. And with Allah Ta'ala, on my faith, my love, everything is with him. So for this type of love and for this type of loyalty, what Allah Pak declares, لَاِكَ كَتَبَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الْإِيمَانِ. You know, in the Jama'at they say that your iman, build your iman, strengthen your iman, right? Yaqeen, iman. So for this type of loyalty, what Allah Pak promises, He promises, كَتَبَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الْإِيمَانِ. Allah Ta'ala will decree iman in the recess of their hearts. So when the iman has been decreed by Allah Ta'ala Himself, then nobody can rub it out. He has decreed it. And He has decreed that iman into the recess of their hearts. Nothing can then affect that iman. In other words, he will enjoy two things. He will enjoy a spiritual life, you know, an additional life. كَتَبَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الْإِيمَانِ. وَأَيَّدَهُمْ بِرُوحٍ مِّنْ. One is, Allah Baqa has decreed it, so his iman will be very sound. وَأَيَّدَهُمْ بِرُوحٍ مِّنْ. And Allah Ta'ala will support him with an additional strength. The strength will be what? One will be a spiritual life, and one is, Allah Ta'ala will grant him that motivation and that strength, no matter what circumstance he's in. To do the right, to be righteous, to do what Allah wants, he will have the strength. Qadha wa tajud, riya namaz, riya tasbiha, zikr. So he will be blessed with an additional strength. So you want that additional strength, you want that motivation, and you want to be going smooth all the time, right? So this verse, you look at it, وَأَيَّدَهُمْ بِرُوحٍ مِّنْ. He will give you a special energy. You'll be energized. An additional energy you'll get. Others have an energy, but this person will have an additional energy. But this additional energy is subject to your loyalties, to your faithfulness. What degree of faith and loyalty you give me? When you give me that level of loyalty, that degree of faith and allegiance, then I will reward you, I'll remunerate you with what? With a special energy. أَيَّدَهُمْ بِرُوحٍ مِّنْ. Right. So, after the i'tikaf, generally people say, I'm low, can't do my work, and I can't do this, and I'm not doing this. Now, this friendship, this is, you can say, in some cases it's a killer, and in some cases the same friendship can become the reason for you being a winner. So, some cases it becomes a killer, and some cases it becomes a reason for you to become a winner. Now, first, you need to understand friendship, right? Friendship doesn't only mean a physical friend, right? You see all these programs that you see in the radios, television, WhatsApp, all that. All these are friends. Right? So if any person or any program, right, is not faithful to Allah Ta'ala, or not faithful to his Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then why are you out? I don't want to be doing, I don't want to have anything to do with you. He's not faithful to Allah Ta'ala, or he's not faithful to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then I got nothing to do with you. I won't have that degree of friendship. Right? If there is a business or there is some work, then we'll meet to the point of work, and then you go your way, and I go my way. Right? You call informal worker, right? Why you call him? Not for friendship, for doing the work. He's done the work, they'll take your pay and move. Don't we have the relationship, right? So, if it is for any work that we require the person, the relationship is to the point of work. After that, he takes his path, and we take our path. So the same will happen to every other person that doesn't show that faithfulness, that allegiance to Allah Ta'ala. And the person that shows strong allegiance to Allah Ta'ala, that faithfulness to Allah Ta'ala, then our relationship is only with him. لا تجد قوم يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر يوادون من حاد الله. Now, an additional concession Allah Pak is giving us is that you don't have to be like Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah, where he killed his father. Was Abu Bakr, he didn't hesitate in killing his son. Right? Was Umar radiallahu anhu, he didn't hesitate in killing any of his family members. Right? So you're not at that point. All Allah Pak is requiring from us is that you're not aligning with them. By not aligning to them, not to their ways, not to their thinking, not to their culture, not to their fashion. You are separate, you are on a different path, and I'm on a different path. You are on a different cause, I'm on a different cause. I've got nothing to do with you, you've got nothing to do with me. But now this person that comes in between, he is a dangerous person. See, that person that's playing a balancing act, see, he is dangerous. He says, no, I know my limits. I know how to read between the lines. And when you start off that, the balancing, then you don't know, you can't maintain it. You can't maintain it. Then you're going to join here, you know, mix up with this person, mix up with that person. Before you know it, then you're thinking like him. Maybe outwardly, you've got a kurta, etc., right? You've got a kurta, topi, turban, everything else. But your thinking is like him, your ways are like him, your culture is like him, you will interact with him. Now, Eid just now, right? Allah forbid. And just on that Eid day, and you see the help breaking loose, right? Now you've got an Eid party, right? Eid party or dawah. How many homes you will find that the parda is being observed like how it's supposed to be observed? Right? It was a time to show happiness, right? Deen expects us to show happiness, right? لِكُلِّ قَوْمٍ إِيدٌ وَهَذَا إِيدُنَا. It's a time to show happiness. But in that happiness, do we make Allah Ta'ala unhappy? We please our friends, and the greatest friend we displease. So is that the faithfulness? See? Now if someone is trying to conform and see that I don't want to intermingle, I'll be separate, then you'll have this type of criticism. Now he's becoming a fanatic and he's becoming an extremist. And now, you know, you can't carry on like this. You can't live like this. Let's mix up. So immediately he's silenced and he's cut off. Rather than giving him the support by, you know, what you're doing is great, it's noble, we'll give you all the support. We can't practice some things, but what you're doing, what you're asking for is noble. Really, we're supposed to be doing it. Whatever support you need, you ask us, we'll give you the support. If you can't do it, that's the least you could have done. At least give him that support, give him that cooperation, that what he's doing is right, and he needs to be supported right through. So this question of friendship, that is why Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah used to say, Kiye karaye ke zai hone ke teen azbab hai. That a person achieved, now you achieved in the month of Ramadan, in Etikaf, you achieved a lot, right? But then there are reasons for you losing all what you have achieved, what you've acquired. Then there are certain causes that will cause you to lose everything. And one of the causes is this friendship. The friendship is not right. It's with people that are not showing that loyalty, not showing that faithfulness to Allah Ta'ala. But you mix around with them, you talk, interact, socialize, do everything with them. Then Allah Pak is watching, but this now this person claimed to be my friend, and today he is the friend of my enemy. Just now he claimed that he is my friend, but now his allegiance is with my enemy. Now how will Allah Pak look at this? Like, you know, you told your wife, only for you, my love is for you, only, nobody else, you know, exclusive, you're so priceless to me. Then you left her, and there you're in the laps of your girlfriend. Now, how your wife must look at this? And the other way around, if your wife sees you, makes all the claims of love, you know, only for you, nobody else, and then in the quiet she's playing around with someone else, how will you take it? So you also not going to accept it. You say this is not, you can't reconcile these things yet. You're either with me or you're either with that person. But to reconcile me and my enemy, then this is out. You can't negotiate this thing. You can't talk of this thing. So this is what Allah Pak is looking, that when you say that I love you, when you say that, that I am for you, then after that, حَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَيُّتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا. You're going to just say that, I love you, I believe in you, and Allah Pak will just leave you and you carry on. Then you're going to go through a whole lot of trials. The whole world is trials. One trial, then another exam, small exam, big exams. All this is going to come right through. The test of love. Then I think the third thing that was spoken about this morning, the things that weigh heavy on the scales. Right? So what was read. So he spoke about the thing, the first hadith was about observing silence and good character. Observing silence and good character. Now, we with someone, right, sometimes we need to talk. Right? It's a guest, your father came in or your parents came in. So you have to talk. It's a respect for that person. Right. So we talk, when we need to talk, we talk of good things. No character assassination, no ghibah, no carrying tales and gossiping. Something good, something slight, good. Alhamdulillah, we find, we're happy, had some good experience. How was your Ramadan? So this type of talk, which is not a doubtful type of talk, not a hurtful type of talk, no character assassination, no gossip, no ghibah, nothing of that. Or sometimes if it's not that, then sometimes we are too proud of ourselves. You know, I did this. Talk of a little bit of the good that you have done. Some of your achievements, you have to talk about it. One person went to meet on Hadi Saab, you see. So the Hadi Saab tells his servant, by, you know, that Zamzam that we fetched in the fourth Hajj, go and get one glass of that Zamzam. Zamzam water that we fetched in the fourth Hajj, so go and fetch one glass of Zamzam from that. So this guest tells that Hadi Saab, you know, in this one statement, you knocked off the reward of all your four Hajj. What was the need for you to say the Zamzam that we fetched in the fourth Hajj? To impress upon the person that you have done four Hajjs. So, now statements, you have to be monitoring, you have to scan the statement before you release the statement. Release the statement, then you're scanning, it's too late. Scan it first, then you release the statement. So, something that's lighthearted, your wife, children, parents, etc., people that you need to talk to, so something that is going to be inspiring, encouraging, or we read this in the Kitab, or we had some beautiful days there, you know. So we didn't even, for example, whilst we're in the masjid, we don't even suffer the cold. We don't even concern about it. The roza becomes so pleasant because there's programs and whatever else is an environment. So we feel so easy to do the roza. So something that may be encouraging, inspiring to others, but not this other type of talks. So the word that is being used is silence, observing silence. Now, in the silence, one second point that we need to understand is with other people, we don't have to start off a conversation. We don't have to start off. Are you thinking, are you eating now? Right? So you're thinking what I must tell the person. Now you lost focus. The moment your mind began to work, that I need to have something to speak to this person, right? So I ask you, do you have your focus now? Focus is gone. So that is why they ask you to train up yourself in not talking. So that overwhelming presence of Allah Ta'ala remains in your focus. That focus must be at all times. But now the moment you think, oh, I must talk, we're sitting and talking, eating now, so I need to talk something. So that presence has left you. But if the presence is with you, then you'll engage in some talk, but you'll engage with that presence of mind that Allah Pak will be happy. Because I need to say something now, because he's speaking to me and he wants an answer. So you will not have lost your focus. But just to speak because you want to speak, just because you want to be heard, like it happens in a circle, when 5-6 people are talking, one person not talking too much, say, no, I need to say something, otherwise they'll say I'm stupid. So let me also contribute. Rather keep quiet, you out of trouble's way. So this remaining silent. So that will help you in so many ways. It helps you. You're out of, you know, you're not talking much, so you're not going to be discussing, fighting, arguing, and quarreling, right? So the Quran Sharif says, لا تنازعوا فتفشلوا وتذهب ريحكم. Don't get into these disputes. The moment you get into a dispute, then you will lose your spirit. You know, you had the spirit to do good, to do righteousness, to act virtuously, you had that. But the moment you went into a quarrel, into a dispute, into an argument, that thing went away. Now, when that thing went away, namaz time came in namaz. But ask yourself, where's your mind now? It's still in that argument. You read in Quran Sharif, and the recitation of the Quran says your mind is still in that argument. And then you say, why he told this? I shouldn't have told this. And why did he have to speak like this? Why did he behave in this manner? So all those arguments are ringing in your mind. But he said, no. But I can see now this discussion is coming to an argument point. So, وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا. Move away, and move away with nobility and respect. You came with the person with respect. Now you can see now, if you're going to say anything, or this person is getting angry, and he's tempted to say something, so move away. Don't get into the argument. Don't get into that quarrel. I ask you, you had to say something to that person, right? One word or two words or three words. At the price of the concentration of your namaz, your zikr, your Quran, is it worth the price? You have to pay this price, and you lost the concentration of your namaz, your zikr, your tilawat, etc. For what? Just that, you know, you could show that person that I can also say something. But what you lost, everything you lost. Your mood is down, you don't feel nice. Now to get back to your nice mood, right mood, it will take you a day or 2 days. But now you lost it for the 1.5, 2 days you lost it. So the easy thing, by don't get into discussion, talks, unnecessary quarrels, I say even if it is with the wife. Just that in the home, there's two type of situations. One is that relates to your deen, and the other that relates to your dunya, right? In the dunya matters, then let her have the upper hand. Curry must prepare curry khichdi or dar chawal. Right. You say dar chawal, she says curry khichdi. Alright, hey, curry khichdi, I like it also. So you agreed, finished. So, hey, every day dar chawal, every day curry khichdi. You don't know anything else. Now she says, yeah, you don't like anything. Whatever I prepare, you're always against me. Right? Now, either she feels bad or you feel bad. But the simple procedure in dunya matters, all right, no, what you're saying is right. Let's carry on that way. So in dunya matters, provided it doesn't bring about any loss. It's not a significant loss. She says, no, have a bride today. Now, you're looking at your pocket, Right? You could, of course, even have that braai and with all what happens in the braai, right? It's going to cost you at least 2,000 rand, for example, right? Now, that's going to weigh heavy on your pocket. Then you have to take debts, you have to take accounts, etc. So as long as it's not on heavy in your pocket, it's manageable, easy to you for your immediate and your future needs, it's not a problem for anybody else, it's all right. Otherwise, you know, I can't manage, I don't have sufficient funds. So long as it doesn't affect your own budget, or it doesn't affect your deen. Wife says, all right, we're going for a drive. Where are we going to go? We're going to go to, for example, Gateway, right? Or Galleria, we'll go here. But now you know, you're going to go there, then you know the amount of farishtas that are parading, and the type of clothes that they will wear, huh? All will be abaya, and be so like pious people, like the Haram Sharif they're walking in. Yeah? So you know now, right? Now you're going to go to these type of places, you're going to lose it. Although she's asking, requesting, now you know, you need to understand, right? How must I avoid this type of place? She wants to be there, and you know, I'm going to go there, I'm going to cause it for myself. So music blasting, people are dressed up, how they're dressed up, and how they're carrying on. Then I can't say I'm an angel. I'll get affected with that environment. I'm reading my namaz, now I'm thinking about that, what I saw in Galleria, or this other place, right? Gateway or something. My mind will be running around there. So I'll lose my concentration. I won't have that. One old man, at least about, I would say about 60, 62, he tells me that he just saw one girl, you know, real or the photo of the girl, right? Just one, just an accident, right? And he looked a little bit more than what he was supposed to be looking. Maybe second time he just looked, right? But he says, now in my ruku, she's coming. I'm making ruku and she's there. Sajda, she's there. And with all the finishes, you know, all that frills and everything, she's coming. Now I can't help it now. What does I do? So you see this sight and how it troubles you. So you know now, you have to preempt that you're going to go to these places here, then you're going to be tempted to look at something. Either tempted or deliberate or mistakenly you look at something. And when you're going to be looking at these things here, then that pictures are going to be captured and preserved and stored. When they're going to be stored, and then at the most awkward time they're going to appear. Then the worst thing is now, sometimes you get the geezer not working too well, right? And when the geezer is not working well, are you seeing this thing here? It played with you until there was an explosion. Yeah? There's an explosion now, you have to take cold water and have a bath. But where it started off from? But you weren't careful. This thing plays in your mind, plays, 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 plays. Suddenly then it settles in your heart. Then you begin to, it begins to resurface and you begin to see it. Right? You begin to imagine, right? And your imagination has the better over you. And then there's an explosion. So these areas that can cause an accident, right? That's what I talk about nowadays, is defensive living. Because you're not going to get people living how you want them to live. You're not going to get them doing that. Right? Like you won't get everybody driving like how you would like them to drive. So you don't want to get people to living how you would like them. But you need to live correctly. You need to save yourself and you need to live correctly. You're not going to get them right. So you know, when you're not going to get them right, and you need to be careful of yourself, you need to think, all right, under the circumstances, how must I drive? Under the circumstances, how must I live? What must I do? Like for example now, your wife says, let's go shopping to this place here, all right? So gradually, gracefully, you have to make her understand. Alright, we're going to go there. I don't mind, there's the money. I'll buy whatever you want. And more than that, right? But now the harms in that is, you're going to look at one girl, someone is flirtatious, right? Someone is forward. And then you have to tell her now, that see, for example, my mind just get hooked onto one of those girls. And the degree of respect and love I have for you, that's compromised. Is that agreeable? But get her slowly, gradually, make her understand. After all, we are businessmen, right? When he's a businessman, you know how to market the product, make the consumer purchase it, right? So you can't tell these things at one shot, right? You can't tell them one shot, because one shot you won't tell them, They say everything is a masna for you. Everything is a bayan, everything is a masna. So you have to get them to accept, but gradually, gracefully make them understand, see, you know, do this, this is what's going to happen. You know, do this, this is what's going to happen. My one friend, so his wife was talking about changing the kitchen cabinets. And everybody got the granite tops and this type of thing. So aunties go one, auntie will go the other house. He got this, you don't have it. So that becomes a masla. Now he is thinking to himself, alright, we got the money, let's use it for something more worthy, worthwhile, right? Something dini, going jamaat, or something that is more dini orientated and going to profit us, or some poor relative, some neighbor, someone that doesn't have the comfort, he doesn't have the basics, let's go and spend on them, you know? So now his wife is nagging that the kitchen, you know, and the finishes and all. Now, it's costly. At least if you do it properly nowadays, 50,000, 100,000 goes, right? But he wants to use it in more rewarding some poor person, some family, some friend. They don't have these things here. Even if it's a non-Muslim. But now, can we have all these type of finishes? When there's a person that is hungry there, he's sickly, his child is sickly, and we sort of just disregard that. Can we be so hard-hearted? This person is sickly, we know about it, we got some excess money. Can't we just think, all right, now, he's a human being, even though he's a non-Muslim, but can't we help him? Even if it's 5,000, 10,000, can't we? Now we have to get the kitchen, otherwise the mood will go off. So, is our respect for humanity gone so low that no concern? So now, he's thinking how to work it out. So he told his wife, see, gradually, I say, you know, get them on a nice note, slowly, you have to knock them off. Knock them off, but with a little bit of diplomacy, and slowly, gracefully. So he says to his wife, see, this culture of having everything new, do you think it's the right thing? So he started off some topic, now he's going to bring his wife to another end, you see. So today, all right, we have to have another stove, new stove, then a new fridge, then a new granite top. Then if my mind is going to go on the culture of new, then I want a new wife then. So they don't hear the story. See, say, old is gold, we just remember the old things. We don't go with the old, new. So somehow, I'm just showing one, you don't have to give the same examples. Because some of these examples can be outdated or they can be heard over somewhere else, right? So you have to think of an example now, but get them gracefully onto a better line where they can use the money, etc., but in better causes. This type of style, culture, he's got this type of kurta, and that type of, you know, in the Haram Sharia I was watching, you know, Allah make me maaf, but South African style kurtas, you know, green this side here, blue here, yellow this side. I don't want to say chaswat colors, you know. But really, I don't see any community wearing that kurta. Whether it's some Morocco, whether it's Tunis, whether it's Egyptian, exclusive. I suppose we have to reflect the rainbow colors, you know, or flag. Very simple kurtas. Why can you get into all these things here? It looks very odd, very, very odd it looks. But people don't look at this thing. And then the more odd thing is, wearing old chachas, wearing shining kurtas now. You know, it's like that Pakistani buses, you know. And they've got mirrors everywhere. Even in the topis, they got mirrors. But it's not meant for you. Dress up your age, dress respectfully, nicely, it's all right. I don't say don't have good clothing, but now your age, now think about your age, you 25, 30, now you can't dress up like a child. Child, they put this type of clothing, funky clothing and all that. That also doesn't look nice. But on a grown-up person, it looks very bad. So we're talking of this La tajidu qawma yu'minuna, right? Sukut, silence. Silence, and the second is good character. These are the things that are going to be most weighty on the scales on the day of Qiyamah. Good character. And I explained early on, good character is you adopt a way, an approach that is pleasing to Allah Ta'ala and pleasing to people as well. Right? It's not only pleasing to Allah Ta'ala, but pleasing to people as well. So you apply the perfume or the itar that is pleasing to Allah Ta'ala and pleasing to people as well. But you use some attar that is not pleasing to people, right? Now your wife says, hey, when you put the attar, I think of the janaza. I don't know if someone had an experience like that. You put such an odd one now. Where this bayat came from now? So that attar is, you have to put the attar, but now be considerate now. The attar, someone likes that attar, someone doesn't like it. Don't use an odd one that's not agreeable to that person. See, it's agreeable to that person also. And wear the attar, it's alright. You use it attar after seeing now that it's agreeable to the next person. Not. Because if that person also wore that attar and came in, you wouldn't have been comfortable. So think for that person how he will feel. So it's you happy with it, people happy with it, and Allah Pak is happy with it. It's pleasing to Allah Ta'ala, pleasing to you, pleasing to people. In everything, in all aspects. Now, you're coming into the masjid, for example, and you want to get the first serve. It's pleasing to Allah Ta'ala. But in the rush to come to the first serve, you're not parking your car correctly. So is that pleasing to people? It's not good character that. You thought about the first serve, but you parked your car incorrectly. Or you came now, you want to come into the first serve, and you're squeezing yourself. So Allah Pak likes you to come to the first serve, but when you're squeezing, you're going to be discomforting the person on your right or on your left. Someone is going to feel uncomfortable. See, now think about it. Am I half size? Am I double size? Triple size? And then put yourself in. You didn't look at yourself. You saw a small gap and you try to push yourself. Obviously, it's going to be making the next person uncomfortable. Now, he's going to think, when is this namaz going to end? So I can end this discomfort. Little bit of understanding, consideration, just push yourself. You wanted to be in the first, you should come a little earlier. But come a little bit late and then push yourself, and then the people that are on your side, they don't feel comfortable in a namaz. Namaz, you want to be comfortable, your concentration must be right, at ease, you're sitting, and you want that imam sahab to lengthen that qirat. But that will happen when you are comfortable and at ease. But now you're getting squeezed, and you say, imam sahab, please just squeeze the namaz quickly now. Enough now, I can't manage this any longer. So good character, that is the second thing that weighs very heavy. And I spoke about speaking, how it hurts. Sometimes using sarcasm, we're trying to insult, we're trying to get back at the person for what he said some times ago, right? Somehow or the other. But we don't know the stain that he leaves. The stain that he leaves for years, for days, that person has that stored in his memory. This is what this person told at such and such an occasion. So be careful in what we say. And good character. That's the first two things that are going to be weighing heavily. Then the second thing I think he read also weighs very heavily. One is Subhanallah bihamdi, Subhanallah al-Azim, right? The third thing that he spoke about, Isa alayhi salam, that at the scales, their deeds will weigh very heavily, right? In the scales, their deeds will weigh very heavily, and that is because of the frequently reciting La ilaha illallah. And I say it's so easy to read. What is your mamulat, right? Your mamulat must be done in one place. Your mamulat, you can't go drive and do your mamulat. Like, you can't be eating, driving around. You want to be relaxed, nice, and then you eat. For that food to be digested well, you want to be relaxed. You walk, drive and eat, that food will go through, but you're not going to enjoy it very well, nor is it going to be digested very well, and nor is it very healthy to be just driving and eating like that. So you want it to go well, you'll have to be relaxed. Relaxed and do your mamulat whichever time, whether in the morning or the evening, but do it in one spot in a relaxed manner. So the effect of it also is full. You have given some time to Allah Ta'ala, and give your choice time to Allah Ta'ala. Why give all your kachra time? Some time to Allah that you want to give. Now, why can't we give our best time? The best for the best. Our best time, our best appearance, everything best for Allah Ta'ala. Can't we think like that? You give him the best, and he'll give you the best. But you give all your leftovers and all that to Allah Ta'ala, and then you want the best for the leftovers. One easy way to get through the mamulat is you tell yourself, all right, you're not going to have, you didn't do your mamulat, you're not going to eat. and see now how you'll get the mamulat right. You read your mamulat, then you're going to eat. You have to be stubborn in that. That regard, you must be stubborn with yourself. No, you didn't do the mamulat, you're not going to eat. The nafs only come straight when there is some type of a imposition, some type of a penalty levied over it. If you're not going to put any penalty, it doesn't come straight. You have to. That's the nafs. Nafs is like a child. So the child must see the stick for it to become straight. And you don't have a stick, you don't have someone a little bit firm, the child doesn't become straight. So that's the nafs, that's the nature of the nafs. It needs to have someone strict. Now you saw, for example, that once you spoke to a girl casually, incorrectly, right, or you were not supposed to be looking. Now you have to impose a penalty upon yourself. You can't have a small penalty. You can't say, all right, I'll give 10 rand in sadaqah. That you could do every day then. Every day you look and say, 10 rand, now I give 10 rand. That every day you can do that. You don't do that. That penalty must be weighing a little bit heavy on you. It mustn't be such that you can do it very easily. One of these khalifas or the prince, you know, he broke his roza intentionally. So he went and asked the alim of the time, what is the kafara? So the alim said, I could have told you that feed 60 people, but I won't tell you this. You fast 60 days consecutively. Because if I ask you to feed, you can feed people every day, 1,000 people every day you can feed. So that penalty won't weigh heavy against you. But 60 rozas, that will weigh very heavy. So same when you are trying to fix yourself up, you know. You made a mistake here, you looked here where you're not supposed to be looking. You used an incorrect word, right? Or you got involved in ghibat. Or some music you heard and you paid attention to it. So now you impose some penalty. The penalty must be a little bit difficult. Manageable, but a little bit difficult. Like for example, you said to yourself, all right, you did this wrong. So for this week, you're not going to eat anything sweet. No chocolate, no sugar in the tea, no fruit, absolutely no sweet. Then you have to be very stubborn on yourself. That see this penalty coming. Hey, you see, you looked at the wrong thing. But don't tell your wife now, you looked at the wrong thing now, please. You know, some people are stupid. They say, well, I look at the wrong thing. She'll feel jealous, obviously. Why do you do all these things here? Right. So you don't tell all these type of secrets to her. Right. So you put that penalty on yourself. But that penalty must weigh a little bit on you. You have got involved in an argument again. Again, you lost yourself and you said something. Now put a penalty on yourself. Sometimes 1 week, sometimes 2 weeks. Now you put that penalty on. Now your mind also becomes a little bit intelligent. Otherwise, you take things for granted. So put a penalty and see how you become refined. Right. So you're talking of La ilaha illallah. A lot of free time you have. You're driving, taking the children for a drive, whatever. So La ilaha illallah. And in that dua, last night I was saying, لا تنزل الرحمة على قوم فيهم قاطي ورحيمين. So that means Allah's mercy is on that person who joins relatives, right? Breaks, then you're getting deprived. And it's so disastrous that the whole community is deprived because of that one person. So now we need to promote this good relationship. We need to promote it. Because it's like a sunnah that is dying out, right? And people don't pay much attention to this. So our relatives, and to what extent, you know, in Bukhari Sharif this hadith comes about Abu Talha, radiallahu anhu, and when he had to give that bagh, you know, so he gave it to his two relatives. One was Hassan ibn Sabit, and I think the other was Kaab ibn Malik or Ubay ibn Kaab. And both of them were connecting with him in the fifth and the sixth generation. You know, fathers, 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 fathers. Sixth generation. I ask you, anybody here knows his sixth generation? But he went and looked at that family, and this person here, let me give this whole bag, this whole orchard, give it to him. So, how to foster, how to improve this? Sometimes I think by Parya Rahmatullah, Rafal is grave with Noor. He has a lot of good habits, right? But one of the reasons perhaps Allah gave him a lot of barakat in what he was doing is this aspect of promoting good relationship. I think I'd hardly seen anybody doing it to the level that he was doing. Every relative, poor, rich, this, that, but he'll go and meet, talk, take something, take some fruit, whatever, but he'll go and talk to that person, make that person feel very special. Right? To the extent, he wasn't very well off, right? But he knew that one auntie liked that long, you know, that long green mango we have. So he knew that, so whenever that season would come, he would make it a point of buying two boxes and passing it out to that auntie. But now promoting good relationship. So in that what happens, what little work you're doing, Allah puts a lot of barakat. A lot of good comes out of that work. So years pass, many years pass, but now good came out. When good came out, all the reward is passed to the person. He's dead and gone, but the reward is passed on to him. Simple persons, no highty, tidy people, very simple, ordinary people. He couldn't speak English properly, right? If you heard his bayans, no, he wasn't speaking good English. But the little that he did all right. Family, and maintain a good relationship. No matter how that person speaks, he'll speak a little bit rough sometimes, but you speak pleasantly, you speak nicely, comfortably, and respect the person. No. One is that you have maintained relationship, and one is you have left the doors of communication, of dawat open. But you could have told him two things. You're talking rubbish, nonsense you're talking. You could have told the person, and then you could have severed the relationship. He's not talking to you properly, you're not talking to him properly. Or you're avoiding him, he's avoiding you. A little bit of tolerance, you tolerated the person, and you enhance the relationship, and how much good you got. One is the rahmat descends, and one is there's a communication. You can communicate deen, You can speak to him about deen, he can speak to you about deen. The third beauty in this is that when the communication is open, if you see that person a little bit down, he's in a constraint, you went and helped him out. And the reward of charity is doubled. Maybe sending here 10,000, 20,000. And here, the reward for your charity is doubled actually. It's your relative and you gave it to him. So it's not one reward, it's a double reward. So much of good you get. Just by the way, I keep speaking about this. See, most of us come from an Indian background, right? So many a times our relatives are still in India or Pakistan or wherever else, right? And they have another language, right? So we keep our vernaculars. In order to keep that relationship, right, you keep your vernacular. Now, if your cousin is speaking French, right, now, will you feel it comfortable to maintain a relationship with him? You can't maintain. How do you talk? You're talking English and he's talking French. Right? Now you can't maintain a relationship. But all right, you're talking the language of the land, but you maintain your own vernacular. Right? Urdu, Gujarati, Vemon, or something you kept. Right? So there was any need you could communicate, there was anything you could talk. And through the pretext of a language, you're maintaining a relationship. Right? So this was the third thing. It's kalima, la ilaha illallah. So you get a lot of free time. In that free time, can't we use it, have a tasbih in our hands, and only in the day, 500,000 you can read up to, that free time. Rather than allowing the time just to pass, la ilaha, you don't know which la ilaha, maybe that thing will weigh heavy and put you through jannat. That one was read with a lot of ikhlas. For example now, there was a little bit of a traffic jam, on the side you see an accident, and you got a shock, and you say, la ilaha illa. And with a lot of feeling you read, maybe that one la ilaha illa, it will just take you to Jannat. You're with so much of feeling. Right? So you invest your time, your energy in a way that's going to be profitable to you. That was the third hadith that he read. There's a fourth hadith that he read, that Nabi Sassam will be standing at the scales. For that person who helped his needy brother, Ibrahim, yeah. For if he has enough well and good, if he doesn't have it, Nabi Sam will intercede. Now, can't we be of help? Like I say, some extra, but the mindset must be right. I mention this incident quite often. you have to get the wife to think like you. The wife, the inmates of the home, people that you are living with, you know, your brothers, siblings, all must think simple. So just putting that finish, this type of pain, that type of wall, by kya rakha hua. Was this the life of the Sahaba and Awakabir? Was that the life? Are we displaying the right values? So that's why I say this Akabir is so important to see them properly. How they behave is so, so important. Otherwise, we're going in a different line. Oh, this finishes here, that finish, that type of tile, that type of brick, this type of paint. Oh, hundreds of thousands are going in that. And we could have invested so profitably. This work of kindness is such a great thing. Imagine Nabi Sahib interceding for you. He likes you to be helpful. So I say, but to get this right, then you have to work very discreetly, quietly, get it working. My ustad, and that's why I say the ta'alluq with our elders. My ustad had his youngest son, Muaz, right? He was involved in an accident, very critical, passed away afterwards. So as he was hospitalized, he used to go and see him. And the hospital phoned him once, and the child is critical. He may not pull another next 24 hours. You want to come and see, you come and see. Right? So he told his family that this is what the hospital says, I'm going to see the child. And you want to accompany me? I appreciate that. She said, blankly, she says, no, I'm not going to accompany you. Anyway, he went and he visited the child. The child didn't pull through. He came back. So he asked her, but why didn't you accompany me to see the child? So he says, she says, you see, when we were struck with this tragedy, so you look for that hadith, articles, etc. on sabr, the reward, the virtue of sabr. And you kept on reading it to me. Oh, this is the reward Allah will give for this difficulty, for that calamity, for that loss, for this death, Allah will give all this. So these things went so deep into my heart, you know. Now I thought to myself, if I'm going to go to the hospital to see my child, I may become impatient. I may say some blurt out something. You know, it's a woman, after all. And women know that they can become a little bit intolerable. They can say something. They're impatient. They may say something. So I don't want to compromise all the reward. See, now, when we encourage them, sometimes their capacity for good is greater than our capacity. They will teach us. So, but now look at my ustad's way. He wasn't a Maulana, but what he had, you know, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهُ. When you're conscious of Allah Ta'ala, keep that in mind, and He will lead you, He will guide you. See, so he had the taqwa, Allah Ta'ala guided him, alright. It's a tragedy, Allah Ta'ala decreed it, you couldn't avoid it. But what we need to know in any situation is, what are we supposed to be doing? Not why it happened. Why it happened, it was decreed, finished, right? Then leave it. But under the circumstance, what are we supposed to be doing? There was a tragedy, there was a death, there was something that happened. What am I supposed to be doing? Right? What Allah Pak will be pleased with? So all that articles of Buzurgan Adin, or the hadith on Sabr, the translation, and he explained it over the period of a month or 2 months, until it went so deep into this woman's heart. She said, I want to accompany you to the hospital. I don't want my sawab to be compromised. See, but can't we use the same thing when our wife wants too many of these comforts, and especially those comforts that may distract them from the cause, like going to these places and where they're not supposed to be going, just spending randomly, rather on charitable causes. Someone is needy, someone needs something. Right? We look for those avenues and spend, right? And spend freely. Like we have got, and we spend freely on our wives. One small, she saw an apron, I think about 500 rand, buy the thing. So that, you know, we don't have any trouble in the camp at night. There's a need fire this now. Just a little bit of comfort, mental comfort, to spend that, blast that thing. But can't we read these hadiths, open their minds, make them understand? I don't say it bring about a revolution in the house straight away, but can't we encourage them? That's what's going to be for the betterment of your akhirat and their akhirat, to be helpful. You know. It doesn't have to be only a Muslim, any person. Any person, but that heart to be helpful, to be kind, to be compassionate. And you will only get that right if you look around. If you stay in your home and you're not looking around, what's going to happen? See, if you got wealth or you got the authority over the wealth, then fil mali haqqun siwa zakah. You think only zakat and finish? No. In the filmali, haqqan, siwa zakat. Besides zakat, there's other duties. If you got wealth, or you got control of the wealth. You see Amir al-Mu'minin says, Umar radiallahu anhu, before Khilafat, you don't hear him patrolling, right? But after Khilafat, he's got control over the wealth. Now the man is, middle of the night, past middle of the night, he's wondering how Madina Munawwara, anybody destitute, orphan, widow, what's happening, someone is crying, what's going on? So when we got that wealth, or we got control over that wealth, then there's duties also with it. Although we only ask Allah, give me wealth, barakat, 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 right? But then the duties that follow afterwards, help all people. Allah didn't give you the wealth, it was just pile up and beautify your home, make it from one level to the other level. No, he gave you so that he has been kind to you. Ahsin kama ahsan Allah ilayk. He's been kind to you, so you be kind to others. You can't say, no, the wife is not agreeing, and that's why you've got a tongue and you've got some style, use it in your child, in your wife, in the people around, slowly, they'll get to understand us. They'll get onto the same cause that you are in. See? But what a reward that Nabi says him on your side. You got him as your protector. What else you need? Allah Akbar.